Thank you, Commander, for that. I appreciate that. I think that
we're not through, Paul.
Oh, okay.
And I think we're. I think if you let me speak a minute from a different perspective, it might clarify creation. Because you have to confuse creation with creator, because the all-knowing source, or the highest cause, the creation, or the creator of creation, the one, the all, is the epitome of everything. And all manifestation comes from the thought of this mind. Some tribes will call God or creation the mind. But what you ones are referring to as God is not that one. Does that mean there are two gods? No. Doesn't mean there are two. There's not two of anything. Everything presents in duality. Everything from the thought of God manifests in duality. That's the way it is, and that's what makes it work. It is that action that is created from that thought projection, always in duality. And it's commonly called sexuality, male, female. But what you are talking about, all of you, all the while, or the commandments say, you've got to separate out the commandments, which are for all beings within creation, and the commandments set forth by God of earth for man of earth. You see, the governor will always give the rules of what is required for a planet, a place of creation, a manifested place of experience, to keep it in total balance, total harmony. And then beings are introduced, and you're given a set of rules, and they're called commandments. And you are also given freedom of will and freedom of choices. So you go forth and you blast every one of them. Before you are acceptable back into the higher realms of the lawmaker, you're going to come back into intent of the law. You may not make it. The intent within is that which measures you for your ability for passage and your end location. Maybe Joe Blow might get stuck on one of the outer planets. Or maybe one of the inner planets, or maybe here, or maybe there. As far as placement is concerned, and I'm exaggerating so that you can see the difference, you were given a set of commandments that would have kept humanity and your planet in total balance had you abided by them. Had you taken those 10 things, and then basically had you functioned according to do unto others, which is basically the highest one, number one, should be. And if you did that, you would already have balance so that you would not be asking for stupid things. It's a sick mind that is a masochist or a sadist. There would not be the sick mind, and therefore you would do unto others as you would have them do unto you. There would be no breaking of either the universal cosmic laws, which are the laws of your cosmic circulating system. You are but a little cell in this great, overwhelming creation. You're like the little gnat flying around in your backyard. Perfect little being, but you're within something. You are a perfect little cell functioning, but you've mutated. You've destroyed what is your life source within the cell. You've got to now go outside that cell, or you have got to bring balance back within it some way. And you were given the rules that would maintain it in balance so that it could circulate in this overall within the working order of creation, whose laws never vary anywhere. And the hang-up comes with the manifestation process. Because mind has no place, no time, no space. It just is. And so it is a magnificent part in oneness with creation. But it floats around and it gets hooked up with the cells, manifested into what you would call a physical form. And now it can go to work in consciousness, doing all this ridiculous stuff. And that's what gets you in trouble. Because you have created with Creator your environment. And when you realize the power of that capability of God fragment of soul power, you will make it right. Therefore, when your goal is correct, there is no way you cannot win. You have to. You have to. Because that is the order of creation. It will produce for you what you demand. Unfortunately, in the mind of man, it will also produce evil for you. Therefore, you have to be careful what you ask for in full intent, because you will get it. You will get it. And when you ones grow enough to understand that, and you feed this wrong information in there, it's no longer ignorance. You really think you want it. And you really think you want it this way. And it hardly ever works. Almost never works. Because if you don't conclude it with the overall to the best for the highest cause, and the intent is for that, you're going to get very consciousness-oriented little things. And you're going to get greedy, and you're going to want to clutch, and you're going to want to hold on to, and pretty soon evil runs everything. So the theory of creation works in either direction. Set the goal, and it's something you really want, you will achieve it, only to find most of the time it wasn't what you wanted, and you're left to seek or to make amends, whichever, whatever. Only the lessons, only the experience are the things of value. What will you do with each of these things? Because at some point you're going to confront Creator. And I'm not talking about your little God. Your little God will intercede and say, well, they didn't really understand, Father. They were kind of dumb, and they were caught in that compression, and it was pretty dense, and they're pretty weak. They flopped here and they flopped there, and they didn't know. Okay, son, I'll take that into consideration as we put them into their places as they depart that physical plane. We're talking about low-level liftoff. But it's the same thing in one sense. These placements are between your Creator, which is not necessarily the Creator of the entire universe. But for your practical purposes, it might as well be. Because the judgment, as you recognize it, will come between you and that one. What have I done in my godness, and what have I not done? What do I deserve out there in the mansions of God? And this is a time when the soul gets very honest, right there at transition. And creation allows. Creator allows. Because you don't have to worry about Creator until you come again through those stages and up to becoming one. And some of you better be on your toes because you came back down from those higher realms to serve. And it's very easy to forget that when you get here. And whatever you do, as long as it was in ignorance, that's one thing. But if you deliberately pull away and deny, that's a conscious act. And if it is within the heart, you're going to have a little bit of a journey to redo. So you who have come from the higher realms into service have a greater responsibility. I've really beat that one.
Commander, this is Stephen Brown from Los Angeles again. I have a question from a first-time reader who was not able to make it today, and then I have a question of my own. Her question was, when Jesus is supposed to return, how do we recognize him, and what is transition? That's the first question. And the second question, you mentioned last week about a six-month period. If we made it through the next six months, we'd be in pretty good shape. And then there's reference to several years ahead. So I'm not exactly sure what I'm a bit confused as to what exactly you mean by that. Could you clear that up as best as you can?
Well, I'll start with number one. You will recognize him because of the light that will come with him and the host that will come with him. You're not the only segment. This will happen around the globe, and there will be no mistaking it. As far as these 6 months, etc., intervals, I can't pin them down. Every time I give you a time span, I'm guessing, because there isn't any such thing as time. There are only sequence of events. And if you can postpone some of these events, then obviously the sequence is going to be thrown out. Your adversary has planned all of these sequence of events to come off, hopefully when you least expect it, because that's the name of the game. Get you at disadvantage. It's like a good game of chess. Only you're the pawns and you're playing in it. And you really can't, you live in this flat land. You've got your eyes right here at the level of the playing board. So you can only see the squares right around you. Just right here. You can't even look out there and see the lines painted. You don't even perceive they are squares. So for me to try to finitely explain or describe something that has no way of description and nothing to which to relate, I can't get it across. And it's not enough to say, take it on faith. I understand that. But I don't know what else to offer you. If you were astrophysicists, and there's some who are, they're having a different kind of problem in understanding what I'm saying. They know that technically I'm telling you exactly what's right. But unless you are a master in calculus and know about time warp and those kinds of things, it's all perception of soul, of mind. and I don't know how to explain it. I can keep telling you, and then once in a while you'll get an aha, I see. And then the minute you think about it, the curtain comes back down. I know it. All I can do is offer it to you. And we'll talk about it each time. I'm not hiding anything from you. I just don't know how to tell you any better, any differently. If there's anyone in this room who wants to attempt it, please do so. And I'm not being trite. I mean it. Because what you can perceive and understand from a brother is so much easier, because you've got it all tangled up with an unseen being, and maybe a little bit of Rompton, a little bit of Mafu, and a little bit of Sister Thedra, who have attempted to explain it to you finitely. And it cannot be explained in those terms, because what you perceive is not. As we talked on the last meeting, where ones ask about light spots, I turned and there was nothing but a light spot, or I saw in front of me a light spot where there was nothing but light. You're coming to the edge of the onion skin, the veil. You're peeling off the veil, only to find there's nothing out there but light. And I hear, you know, well, I don't want to just go out there and be just in the light and be nothing. You're not. When you get out there, you're not nothing. You have finally become something, because what you're doing here is nothing. You're a television screen running around acting out. Sometimes the play is pretty bad. B-rated, X-rated, whatever. I know it's not enough, but I could be here for hours and it would not be enough. What you're wanting is comprehension and understanding, and I can't give it to you.
Commander, my name is Filiusa. I'm just wondering about your spaceship. Is it, do you just think it, or is there a manufacturing process also, even in a very evolved society that may be in a very much, I don't expect that it would be anything comparable to what we do here on this nothing earth, but I imagine.
Well,
I'm
she's got
curious.
It. Understanding the latter part of your statement first. Some of our spacecraft are bigger than your planet. You have to only look out there as to distance to see that that's true. A lot of the command ships are, 300 yards in diameter. That's pretty large for craft. A mothership can be many miles across. These are all originally created in the mind of the ones with the technology on the various places wherein, I guess you would call it, man, in whatever stage of development might be residing. No, the craft are very real and they're very well manufactured. It is the ability to control the substance that is the mind flow. The substance itself is controlled. The ships are very real. And a lot of time has been put into modifying them for this mission, or any mission according to what planet may be in trouble. You see, once you have manifested density, in the case of an Earth, and we were talking about transition, what happens? Well, you begin to evolve again into your higher beingness, into your fineness, into your ability to again take action within the cosmic realms. you have become denser and denser and denser until if you don't stop, you're going to be nothing but a black hole. Already, mentally, your planet represents that. Darkness. And you don't have any way off the wheel. You don't have any way off. Because anything that you would have been able to cling to has been misrepresented to you so that when you clutch it, it's been a lie. And it won't get you off. All we're doing is telling you how to get off. We're just giving you rules for your evacuation. That's all we're doing. You know, if you're going to summer camp, they're going to tell you to bring your shorts and three T-shirts and your sneakers.
Excuse me.
Yes.
Wouldn't it be simpler to just willingly die and then your soul will be freed and you can go on with your next life?
Some think that. Actually, it's not like that. You will progress according to the level of growth of the consciousness. And if your consciousness is one of taking your own life, then you have not grown into the reality of the program. Because when you know, and when you have grown into knowingness, I'm not talking knowledge or information. I'm talking about when you finally know, then you're already there.
I'm sorry. I wasn't suggesting that we should go out and kill ourselves. That we do have a finite lifespan. And I think, like, for me, it's not really so much that I am afraid of what comes after this life because I know it's going to be death. The problem is what you do in the meantime.
You were
now.
All right. You chose. And your creation has purpose. And if you just cop out, you are denying your own purpose. And in those events, maybe it is just as well to die and go on and start somewhere else. But where else would you start? What else would you do? To arrive at the goal that all souls have, you're going to have to experience. And unfortunately, being doesn't do it. Just knowing doesn't do it. You are judged by action. And what is your reaction and your response to given sets of circumstances? And if you are here in this room, then you must have had some curiosity or you must have some feeling of need of service. And I'm only using this as an example, so please don't be personal about it. To just get out of that responsibility is not what you want. You may think you want it, but the moment you have it, oh, you're sorry you took that one. It's just like Dorma who says, get out of my space for a while. I can't stand you anymore. Go, God. You know, and at that moment, the shield parts because this is an intent of the heart. This wasn't just a little. This was at the end of just about all the human mind can hold. Exasperation. And yet never the thought of suicide. This is what usually man will do. Will turn away from God and say, you're too heavy for me. I want to be free of you just for a minute. Because you see, each one of you who makes a commitment to God expects him there every moment. And therefore, he's there every moment. And living in that light withers you at times. You flourish, yes, but you become guilty and you are so weary of carrying this responsibility till you lash out at whatever's around. And if there's nothing around, then you lash back out at God. Get out of my space. And when that soul means it, and there's a great deal of good lessons to be learned from it, I don't think I would have let her be bumped off. That doesn't work either. Because you see, if you have a purpose, you're not easily bumped off. So each one has to come into alignment with what it is you want. And if the journey and the burden of the way seems too heavy, then you better look at that very carefully. Because this is not the exception. This is the rule. I'll just be until. What difference does it make? To you, a lot. To each individual, a lot. To me, it matters not at all. Other than whatever agony I may find that touches me through each individual. But I know that you will learn, whether it be in this projection or another.
Commander, on these people who are members of the elite, since they are human beings.
Some.
And is it possible that since they still have the dual good and evil in them, that at some point in time something could be done to trigger the good in them and make them turn good instead of continuing to be evil?
Yes, if they are truly human. You are talking about humanoids versus human beings. This is what we've covered here many, many times. There is a very, very large difference. And some men would never be able to be replicated because of the goodness within the soul, as the brain and the mind and the mindset is downloaded. The being simply will not accept the evil. Yes, as long as there is a shred of soul and goodness, there is hope. Absolutely.
Thank you, Commander.
Where are we with the tape?
We have about 5 or 10 minutes left on this side, left on these two.
Let's go have fun.
Marlita has a.
All right.
Commander, I studied the Winds of Truth, which was given by Archangel Michael. Now, I don't know how much was true, but now I'm here. You know, I've been searching all my life. And he speaks of the 12 universes, the 12 solar lords, which are the archangels. What can you tell me about that?
Well, in 5 minutes, not a lot. You are going to have to realize once again, get out of your little scope of everything revolving around the earth and then everything revolving around you as an individual. You are going to progress through the various and sundry 12. I have no quarrel with that. There are so many, quote, universes. But what he's talking about are the 12 major areas of experience and learning and growth to become one again at Creator Source. Michael is, I guess you could call him the guardian angel of peace and harmony, and your teacher, Earth, if you will. There are specific ones of the angelic realms that serve, and Michael has been your guardian of Earth throughout these eons of time. There are other Kohans, there are other angels. Gabriel brought the seed of Emmanuel. It was Gabriel's ship. I didn't say flapping wings. I said ship. Yes. When there is no life or death of a being, a housing, there is only one's growth back into creatorship. One with God. So there is no lifespan as you recognize it. in manifested form. There is no reason for illness. There is no reason for being without a limb unless one is doing this for the experience in these other places. Because once you know the facts and the truth of it, you grow another one. There's no reason that you do not grow another arm if it's cut off. Because the DNA genetic structure is the same. Nothing has happened except that you have decided, because somebody told you, that it won't grow. Now, in this density of experience, the physical form does deteriorate. Once again, much of it is because you expect it to. There is no logical reason that that happened. But damage does come to the form. It is a house, and damage comes to your house if you don't take care of it. And even if you take care of it, it will age. So you're talking about a very primitive density, actually, in the 12 levels of progress. The Pleiadians gave those to you. I gave them to you here just a little while ago. We repeated them. And basically, we're talking about 7 levels of progression. And when you talk about the 12 universes, I don't believe that there is that much discernment, because you're talking now about universal experience, in which there most of the time will not be form as you know it.
Well, one more question. According to the teachings of Archangel Michael, God is the ultimate, and then there's the solar logos in Christ, or Jesus was the firstborn son of God, and then the other angels were created. Now, when planet Earth was created, he speaks about 8 million years ago, the solar lords separated from the solar logos and came down here to set up the 12 rays of life which we need here on this earth. Is that correct?
How can I possibly just say no? Because, no, I don't want another tape. I want to leave you with a thought. What is happening here is perception. And you have to be very careful when you hear something, because what is actually being said and what is being received may be something quite different. And the concept is all right. But when you start putting labels on something and make it finite, it becomes totally incorrect.
Well, I didn't put a label. I'm just asking.
Yes, but speakers do that. When you speak of solar cross, when you speak of Jesus Christ, you have just labeled an entity. And the Native Americans would take exception if I said, yes, that's true.
Well, I didn't stick with it. I wouldn't be here. So I just wanted your
I realize that, but we are talking absolutes here. Because this is what Hatton is judged on when that tape hits out there in southern Texas somewhere, or in the height of Palm Beach in Miami.
Commander, do you look like this? That was painted by Celeria Winkler, suppose.
No, I do not. Dorma has that very picture.
And she said that Commander Hatton appeared to her.
I appeared to Dorma with blonde hair and blue eyes. I have no hair. I wish I did, and therefore I will often have hair when I appear.
You mean you shave your head?
You will have to repeat it. I didn't hear you.
Do you shave your head?
No, I don't have any hair.
Well, someday we may all have the pleasure to meet you.
Sooner than you're going to wish, really.
Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Commander.
Does anybody have any announcements or anything before we go on with the next segment of anything?
I have an announcement.
Well, we would hear from Oberle.
Now that George and Desiree are going to be up in Carson City, we'll miss them at these meetings. And we'll miss them in many other ways, too. And one of those ways is that they have provided a huge amount of support in terms of paper, copier, people to make copies and things like that. We're going to have to do something to support ourselves, or at least to help. So the writing of today that I read is available here. I have several copies. I'm going to put it down there on the end of the table with a little box, and you might put a contribution in the little box if you would like a copy. And I brought a great big box because I expect lots of contributions.
Well, what he expects is a lot of little money.
I want to, in behalf of Desiree and I, we want to thank you, all of you, for the support that you've given us and what we could do to help you. And we're not going away in the support, just so you know. We'll be continuing to support as much as we can. And Desiree, by my side and working with you, even though we'll be a little ways away, and we will come back and bother you.
Well, son, it's going to come the other way now pretty quickly.
Kind of feels
you can
like
rejoice. You will be getting some of that reward back very, very soon.
It feels a lot like we've been facing you, getting, you know, receiving the light, and now we're with our backs to you, projecting it outward, and that's the way it feels like at this graduation. So I hope we give honor to all that you've given us, the teachers, both seen and unseen, that we've had, and that they continue to help us and offer the guidance that we and that we continue to listen and really honor you, Commander, and the command in behalf of all the hosts and everybody that we don't know yet. Let us go forth and give honor to that which we've learned, and blessings to all of you.
Thank you. You will enjoy hearing that I have more faith in you than you do. Blessings. It's wondrous to see the family grow. It's always hard to see the children move away. But remember, the greatest gift you can give your children is to give them wings and let them fly, but give them roots so they know where to land. Salud.